my friends, this is Andy and Eddie coming to you live from Orange County, California. How are you?
I'm great.
I was trying to get my
I didn't know what you were doing.
I was trying to get my logo to be seen.
Okay.
Behold, he comes. This is one of my favorite shirts, by the way.
I know. And I'm wearing my producer's His Glory.
His Glory.
And I'm a His Glory patriot.
Awesome.
Yes.
That is amazing. You're recording a show today.
We are recording today.
What's today?
Thursday.
Did your article come out today?
It did.
It dropped. As they say in the biz. All right. We're going to have to talk about that for sure. All right. Very cool. Oh, yeah. Already got that. All right. What was I going to talk about this morning? Oh, it's a beautiful day out. Have you been outside yet?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh.
I've been slaving away in the kitchen. Oh, goodness.
Oh, my gosh. What's going on today? All right. We're reading from Smith Wigglesworth Devotional. I just like to show this book because I feel like I have to because we're using it. Am I wrong?
I don't think it's necessary considering most people seeing on the podcast, they don't know what you're doing.
Well, the people, I don't know. We have millions of viewers on the live TV show.
Okay.
Yes. And like hundreds of thousands of new ones every day.
Right.
And they just need to see. I feel like I owe it to Smith.
Okay.
Then he went to all the work. It was probably somebody else, but he went to all the work to writing it at some point.
Yes. Well, I mean, we're constantly saying we're reading from Smith Wigglesworth, so.
Okay.
I don't know if you need to show the cover.
So today we're reading from the devotional for October 21st, and it is entitled More Precious Than Gold. All right, I'm going to read this very difficult sentence for me. I don't know why. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You did it.
That's 1 Peter 1:7. Now, I got to say.
Wasn't that beautiful?
It is. But I used to get early on in my rookie years as a police officer, mm-hmm. You know, you have to write. We used to write reports by hand back mm-hmm. then. Not chisel and hammer.
Right.
I didn't need that comment that was going to come out. I could see it. But you had to write things by hand.
Yes.
And then I'd turn in my report and you'd say, Jimenez, get in here.
Jimenez.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
You need to take out all these commas. Why do you have so many commas? So I see a bunch of commas and it scares me.
Well, why? Because they don't like, why wouldn't they not like commas?
Because I just use a comma just because I would never, I did. I'd use a lot of commas in that.
Oh,
that
so was they my weren't, thing. So they weren't appropriately.
No.
Commas. Okay.
No. And so I always, it causes me anxiety.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry. But I didn't mean to take away from God's word there, but it is amazing. It is awesome. 1 Peter 1:7. That's what that was from. Sorry, didn't mean to go off on a tangent.
Wow, that was a big squirrel. Okay.
Okay. The scripture reading. 1 Peter 1. Smith says, some of you wonder what is up when you are not healed in a moment. God never breaks his promise. The trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. God wants to destroy the power of the devil. He wants to move you so that in the face of hardships, you will praise the Lord. Count it all joy. That, of course, is from James 1:2. You have to take a leap today. You have to leap into the promises. You have to believe that God never fails you. You have to believe it is impossible for God to break his word. He is from everlasting to everlasting. From forever and ever, not for a day. He keepeth his promise forever to all who believe, to all who obey. He keepeth his promise forever. There is no variables with God, no shadow of turning. He is the same. He manifests his divine glory.
Amen.
Jesus said to Mary and Martha, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. We must understand that there will be times of testing, but they are only to make us more like the Master. He was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He endured all things. He is our example. Oh, that God would place us in an earnest, intent position in which flesh and blood have to yield to the Spirit of God. We will go forward. We will not be moved by our feelings. Suppose that a man who is prayed for today receives a blessing, but tomorrow he begins murmuring because he does not feel exactly as he wants to feel. What is he doing? He is replacing the word of God with his feelings. What a disgrace. Mm. Let God have his perfect work. Oh, thought for today. God has you on this earth for the purpose of bringing out his character in you.
Amen.
Wow. That is a powerful message. I love that message.
Isn't it?
Let's see who's commenting. April Roga, nice to see you. Welcome to the Anxiety with Comma show, starring Andy Falco Jimenez.
It's always starring Andy Falco Jimenez, April. Welcome.
You should have seen all the commas in that short little sentence. There were like 10.
Because they're trying to provide emphasis. And do you remember what it sounded like when you didn't read the commas? I was like, what?
All right, back to the devotional. Enough of you and April. This is not the Hedy and April show.
So welcome, April. We missed you. Yes, we hope all is well.
She had a great post today about marriage, about women in some sense. April, if you can, I don't know if you can copy and paste that. You're great at all this stuff, so I don't have any problem asking you. Post it in the comments. You had a really great post today.
Oh, nice.
It's really important for women to hear, I think, from what I remember. I read it as I was driving. I go, oh, that's a good one.
Oh, good.
It may have been for men, but I think it was for women. All right. So what are you getting from this devotional? What's your main takeaway that you want to visit?
Well, I love I loved revisiting the story of Lazarus because it references Mary and Martha. And I mean, it's one of the most tremendous stories in all of the Bible, that Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead after 4 days. Mm-hmm. And it's the only time that the Bible refers to Jesus crying. It's the shortest verse in the whole of the Bible. He wept.
Wow.
And just the power of their relationship and how beautiful that was. And that God can do the impossible. And I think that's the theme for this whole thing. He never fails you. He never breaks his word. And there are often times when I refer back I'm reminded of that thought, because God is from the everlasting to the everlasting, meaning he doesn't think in our time. Time is not a point of reference for him. There is no past, present, and future in God's eternity. And we just can't process things in our way and attribute them to him. And so it makes me in awe, and it makes me calm down to realize.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally when it works. Occasionally when it works, when I'm not this guy at the end of the devotional who's like, oh my God, what a disgrace, replacing the word of God with my feelings, because I'm that person too, for sure. So depends on what mood you catch me in.
All right. Those of you on the podcast, you can probably hear me a lot better because I unmuted my mic. It was muted.
Oh, earlier. So they missed the whole.
No, they can hear it because they can hear it through your mic.
Oh.
No. And April obviously heard it.
Right.
Let's see if she put it up yet. No, she must have came on and left. Darn it. It was a good one. I may have to look it up later on. I think that the most, there's so much goodness to this for me, because it just reminds me of how, it reminds me of my story, in the sense that I think, as the early Christian walking around the church as a man, as just a fleshly man, I was always calling God's existence, I guess, or God's love for me, Jesus's love for me, always calling it into question. Because I would, one day it would be all yes, and the next day I go, oh, yeah, but nothing happened yet. Like I've been coming to church, and yet I'm still getting divorced. I've been coming to church and I still have cancer. I've been coming to church and I tried this solution that I thought you wanted me to try. And
but
I
did
still
you
have
always
cancer.
Walk around with like a smile on your face? I always wonder, like listening to you now, knowing you, being married to you, I wonder when I go to church, how many people are walking around like that?
90%. No, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know. Not in the Calvary Chapel. I mean, not as many. Because we're hearing the truth so often.
Yeah.
And he comes out and tells you, hey, knock that off. I know what you're doing. In a way, through his message, through Jack's message,
sure.
God through Jack is saying, I'm telling you.
Can't fake it.
No. Are you on this side of the room where you are the prostitute, that you are the gambler, that you are the drunk and the person committing debauchery? Or are you in this side of the room that is making, saying that I'm glad I'm not one of them? you're one or the other. Or you're walking with God.
Right.
He does that constantly. And I think that would have helped me in my early days. But again, part of it is that you have to go through it. The very beginning part, right? It's that some of you wonder what is up when you are not healed in a moment. God never breaks his promise. The trial of your faith is much more precious than gold. That was Amen. The best part.
So true.
Right. I'm going to share my screen here. I'm going to share something with y'all. That's I don't
with
know.
Y'all.
I've gone country. Let's see if it's, sorry. I got to bring it up. Let's see. Sorry for this. It's you on the podcast are not going to be able to see it, but I'll explain what it is. I don't know where I lost it. There it is. Perfect. So we had a lot of stuff to do here. A lot of clicking around.
You maybe.
There you go. Oh, no, that's not a good one. Let's do this one. All right, just real quick, I'll show you on the screen. Those of you watching on the live stream can see this chart. And what this chart is, it's my PSA over the last 12 years. So you can see there. So on the left, it shows, this is from Kaiser Permanente, and it shows the, after I get a blood test, that it, you know, started out at a certain level and I can't see it. I'm just trying to make it bigger so I could see it. But it starts at a very low level when they first find out that I have cancer. And it keeps increasing and keeps increasing. And the reason I'm showing this graph is that that's the period of time that I was walking around the church.
Oh,
that entire time. And it's just increasing. So it's like a lot of other things in my life, that walking around in church, not really man, that other things were increasing, you know, the failure of businesses, the you know.
Yeah,
the,
2010, huh?
Yeah. That, I mean, divorce, maybe not been that great of a father in the sense that I wasn't around as much. You know, other, just all kinds of things. But that chart is very much like my life. The cancers in my life increased as I was not walking with God, but I was walking around this church as a Christian. So I was looking at it yesterday. I was at my house. I have this actually, this was taken at my, at the other house, not my house, but the other house that we're getting rid of. And I was looking at it. I go, man, that just is so much of the trajectory of my life as I was walking around as a Christian in this church.
That's amazing.
The cancers in my life were increasing. Because I had not been born again. I had not been in the fire and transformed. But once I did, everything began to change. Now I had a little bit of increase in the cancer, but then we met. I had also previously had been in the room there in Utah with God, Jesus Christ standing in front of me, completely transformed my life.
I love
and
that.
And then you see the drop off, nothing. Like, there you go. I've been following you. I've been after you. I've been talking to you this whole time and you've been off this trail. And it wasn't until then that everything snapped
and
said,
that.
Here you go.
More precious than gold.
But that doesn't mean it's over.
No. Right?
There's going to be more challenges. There's going to be more things. But I think that this is an example. This is an example to me that shows me that the difference of me walking with God and then understanding that Jesus Christ dwells with inside me, the Holy Spirit, that's what happens. That's an example.
Fantastic.
So the next time something challenging happens, it'll be easier for me, no matter what direction it takes me.
Yes.
Does that make any sense? Maybe not to the podcast or crowd because they can't see the graphic.
No, I think it's very important. I mean, overcoming any significant trial, I've overcome many trials. I was holding on to a house that I could not sell for a year and a half, and it just sat there empty while I lived in another city.
Right.
And I was hemorrhaging money to pay for it and not lose it. And And the Lord just kept telling me to be patient, be patient, be patient. And it was a miraculous ending to that story. I mean, miraculous. And just everything that's happened in my parents' lives and our lives. And so they all start, it seems like the greatest breakthroughs start with a difficulty.
Right.
They start with a trial. And that's what I mean also when we first started this conversation, when I talked about understanding that God never breaks his promises. Mm-hmm. And I just constantly recite the scripture that I have plans to prosper you and not to harm you. I will never forsake you or leave you. And the Lord's promises are always true.
Absolutely. Just really quick, just so you can see a little bit better. I finally figured out how to make it a little bit larger. But you can see that my PSA went from 2 to 4 to 18 to 18 at the very peak there. And now at the bottom, it's at 0. So it took it all away.
Amen.
He's amazing.
He sure is.
What do you think about that in relationship to God? So in the Bible, we see stories in the story about Martha and Lazarus, who was dead and stinky. Mm-hmm. And it was just simply Jesus doing his thing. And he raises up with the bandages around, and then they say, what is the words that they use? We'll end up
take his bandage, unbound
him. If that was all in a snap, all done by Jesus, no doctors, no medicine. It was just him saying blah.
Yes.
Is there a difference? I'm just throwing it out there just for the discussion. Is there a difference when God uses doctors and uses you, for example, for my healing, like uses you? Uses medicine, uses modern technology and your knowledge of searching for the right person. Is there any difference? Should anybody look at it as, well, it wasn't really just Jesus that did it. It took a doctor. He had to go to school. He had to have this technology.
Well, I mean, I think the healing, it's very hard to answer that question because some people say, well, if you really have faith, then you shouldn't need a doctor's intervention. Right. You shouldn't need a surgical. I don't know if I believe that. I told you I've had a personal circumstance where I went to Pastor Jack. I mean, like I was told that I had the initial stages of cancer. Mm-hmm. I went, he prayed on me, gone. 30 days later, test was clear. Yep. Like literally, I mean, like it was extremely profound and miraculous. So the question is, I don't know. I can't answer that question. Like, do you you know what I mean?
Yeah, because
you're healed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because I know those people, because I know that there's those people that, I don't know what faith it is or what denomination it is, but they refuse sometimes to take their child
Christian
to the doctor.
Scientists.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're just going, well, no, God created the doctor too. He created his hands and the knowledge and the universities that he's able to go to.
I absolutely
that everything is created through God. That's what we have to believe, that everything on this planet is created
absolutely
through God. So that's why I wonder sometimes, well, how is it that these people that have the scientists, Christian scientists, don't understand that? Like it only has to be miraculous healing.
Well, and I mean, I think that comes up a lot with all kinds of issues. Remember, I told you that I have some friends who say, and a lot of people in the church who don't believe in using any kind of psychiatric medicine.
Yes.
Whether it's for depression or anxiety or whatever it may be. And I think that all depends on the faith of the individual and the strength and fortitude of that individual to be able to be like, you know, I think I can do this without the medicine. Some people are dangerously unstable and the medicine can help stabilize them until their faith and their discipline makes them better. So it's, I don't know, it's just so individualized. I think it's inappropriate for any of us to make a generalization about it because everybody's faith levels are different and what God's walking them through is different. So I think what we learned from Pastor Jack the other night too, which he reiterated as he goes through Hebrews 2:4, which is a very expansive study on the gifts, that we have to believe the gifts are real and that the gift of healing is real And so you do not necessarily need a doctor's intervention. But barring that, you could have different kinds of healings. Like, we consider your healing to still be miraculous because, quite frankly, we went to something pretty experimental and it could have gone either way.
And we know for sure that it went really well.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I'll tell you, I just had a recent experience of my own that I've told you about, that like I had this this issue that was going on literally now for a year. And I was just really, really tired. And I was debating whether I needed to get this procedure. And I was sitting in church one night. It was on a Wednesday night. We were engrossed in prayer. And I was praying to the Lord to give me wisdom. And he's like, take the pill. Your faith has made you well. And ever since I took that medicine that was prescribed to me, which was my last ditch effort before surgery, it's gone. And I was suffering that for a year.
I know that
for
sure. I witnessed that.
I mean,
it's not just you saying it. I mean, I know for a fact.
Right? I mean,
that is crazy.
Isn't it? I mean, the Lord's like, go, daughter, your faith has made you well.
Yeah, so it's important to pray for both. I know that when I was in the hospital for COVID, that I was not only praying for miraculous healing, but I was also praying for the doctors. I was praying for the nurses in my healing. And whatever they were going through.
Right.
So that was,
COVID's the best example because it's a complete wild card. Nobody has any idea why somebody saves and somebody gets saved and somebody dies.
Yeah. And I think that's where I learned, I don't know who I was listening to, because I was listening to so many different messages while I was in there, I had plenty of time to do that, the importance of praying for others before yourself, that you may take me tonight. But these people are amazing. They're doing their best. And so there was that period of time where I've not really done that before, where I did not think of myself first. Don't give me that look. But prayed for them and prayed for the kids and prayed for you.
Yes.
That you would be around when I got out. That, like, hello.
Well, you changed your phone number. Get out.
You had the same phone number for 30 years and all of a sudden you decided to change it when I get out of COVID. But that was, again, it's, you got to pray for both. Pay for a miraculous healing, pay for the people that have the skill.
Yes.
And that to help you in their healing. So let's get to some of the scripture, which is important. And we have
First Peter 1 is long, but I'm just going to read my favorite part. So, but I suggest you to read it. First Peter, Pastor Jack of Calvary Chapel Chino Hills refers to Second Peter as combat faith, where Peter talks very extensively about what it takes to be a strong believer, which I love. First Peter is a lot more complex. It's got a lot of, I think, complicated theology and important ideas about the believer's relationship with Christ. But so I suggest you read this when you have time. But the part I'm going to read is 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16. Therefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you recall, I recite this to you all the time.
Yes.
Because anytime I think me and Andy are naughty, I say, be holy, for the Lord God is holy. Because quite frankly, the Lord recites this scripture to me constantly. And so it's so powerful, right? Do not conform yourself to the former lust that you did in ignorance. He's called you and he is holy. So be holy. I just love that. James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And Psalm 92, which is written by David, before the mountains were brought forth, ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In John 11:40, again, Jesus is talking to Mary, Lazarus' sister, Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And then Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." That's our Jesus.
That is. 33 years old.
Yes.
When he was taken. That's a long time to go sinless.
Right.
And you can't go an hour.
That's why we need a savior.
Wow. I mean, you really think about it, all that was thrown at him. I mean, even face to face with the devil, you know, just he.
Well, and I think, as most scholars interpret, that he had to have gone that time in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 days, so as to also be able to give us the validation that he has been tempted in all ways.
Yeah. So it's one thing to be walking around and maybe tempted with, you know, lust.
Right.
And to throw that off. But that's one. But now you're like face to face with the devil. And yes. Now are you still sinless? And he goes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. So good. So powerful. But we have to strive to be like Jesus.
Amen. And that was the theme of my article.
Oh, yes.
And it was, I didn't want to say it because I thought it was too corny a cliche, but what would Jesus do? It was literally like, what would Jesus expect from us?
Well, let's start off with what the title and what the subject.
So they titled it, Should Christians Surrender the American Public Schools?
Okay. And so, with what would Jesus do, how does that relate to?
Well, basically, I was saying to people that how could we surrender the schools when Jesus taught us to fight and sacrifice for everything we believe in? Look at Peter, look at Paul. Throughout Scripture, Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, they spoke truth to power against all odds. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going in the fire being like, you can do with us what you please. We will not sacrifice our God. And even if he does not rescue us, we still won't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For surely our Lord can rescue us. And even if he doesn't, we will not obey. So, you know, the question is, how could we then say, well, okay, let's homeschool. Christians, everybody pull out of school.
Yeah.
What about all the people left? What do you do with all the poor kids who either don't have the means to leave or that we could be ministering to and evangelizing to? And so I also mentioned, I said that, you know, what we need to do is take all of our missionaries who no longer can travel because of COVID and other things that the... what are you scrolling for?
I'm sorry. I was looking to see where the comments were.
That the new mission field is American schools, the streets of California, New York, Virginia, San Francisco. We need to take back our country. Forget the jungles of Asia and Africa right now. I mean, I love them and they need Jesus too.
Yes.
But we need our missionaries at home.
Well, here's the... And I was looking through your article to look for, did some really good stuff in there.
Thank you.
You even talked about Placentia Urban Linnet School District.
I did.
You covered it all. So there's a couple of things. It's so much gold in what you had to say. The homeschooling thing, you know, people screaming homeschooling. And like you said, not everybody can do it. Not everybody has the means. Not everybody has the time because, you know, you have two parents
mental
working.
Mental faculties to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be fair.
Like you can be great. You can be a great doctor. It doesn't mean you're a great elementary school teacher.
Or maybe you're not a doctor. Maybe you're a trigger.
Yeah.
Like you barely made it through school yourself.
Yes.
You know, and so what? You want to raise half education?
That was my experience with their teacher had not even attended college.
Yeah. And that's okay. But that doesn't mean you should be a teacher.
Right. Absolutely.
Oh, goodness.
And so with that, you're going to pull out, say there's, let's just go with 50%, you know, and say there's 50% conservative children, or the parents of conservative, or the parents are conservative, then you're going to pull out, you know, 20%. Because really, that's all that's going to believe, maybe 10%. But still, that's now you put the conservative children in the minority, clearly in the minority, and they're going to be overrun. And I can only compare it to Afghanistan. It's the same thing.
I used the example.
Oh, did you? Thank you.
Yes.
And so
I didn't give you credit, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. How did you not give me credit?
What am I supposed to say? My husband said.
As my husband says.
Oh.
Or as my husband related.
Really?
As my husband. I'm losing my voice. Anyway, but also, again, now not only do it's all the same. You leave the equipment behind. The millions of dollar equipment that we paid for
are priceless.
Is left. That too is left in the school. So there's that. So the other thing is that, oh my gosh, there was another really important point that was from what you were just talking about. We don't, as Christians, it's not to abandon.
Never. Even if you get skinned alive, do we abandon? Do we run? That's what I don't. Honestly, that's something I have the hardest part with is after coming out of Islam and all of the criticisms Muslims have of Christians, coming in and reading the Bible and saying, wait a minute. Jesus is savage. Like what the apostles did and went through and fought for and what Jesus did, how can we be interpreting this as weakness or as, okay, we take our toys and run home or we go and hide? I mean, the apostles, even when the Lord said after he was risen again, and he's like, don't leave until you receive the Holy Spirit. And then you're going to go out to the entire earth. So they were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. When the tongues of fire hit, then they just dispersed.
Right.
You know, thousands and thousands were coming to faith from just them preaching for an hour or half an hour.
Right.
And then now why do we think this country was 80% Christian about 20 years ago. You know, now it's less than 66%. So we're just going to keep giving it over and giving it over and giving it over until they put us in a camp.
Right. Nope.
Sorry, folks. I feel very passionately about this issue.
But I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm so glad.
Well, I mean, I take it very seriously.
That's good. One other thing that that just want to bring your attention to, and that there's this show that's just before Tucker Carlson, and I don't know there's a name for it, but Dan Bongino appeared on there, and it may be one of the best appearances that I've ever seen him have. He is so fired up right now because he got to see, you know, Rush Limbaugh passed, and so several radio stations picked him up as the person to take over for Rush Limbaugh.
Right.
On that particular section, and paid him gobs of money to do it, millions of dollars. And he says, you know, this company is now going to mandate the vaccine on all of its employees.
Meaning including him.
He's already had the vaccine, so it doesn't matter to him. He goes, but I'm not going to work for a company that mandates its employees to get vaccinated. And he goes, I'm not going to, and he's willing to give up the millions of dollars that they paid him to be on the show. And he says, you make a decision. You go forward with this mandate. I quit.
And how come he vaccinated?
Because he had cancer. He had Hodgkin's, and the doctor said, you are so susceptible. If you get COVID, this is one thing that may protect you from death.
Interesting.
Because it was pretty bad.
Right.
And because now his immune system is very weak and a whole bunch of other things, the doctor, he said, that's how this is supposed to work. You know, I'm supposed to have a conversation with my doctor, not with
my employer,
not with Kamala Harris, not with all these people that are not doctors, and not with Fauci, who's been wrong on everything. My conversation is with my doctor, who I trust, who's a friend of mine.
Right.
He goes, I had that choice. I have a choice. And so should everybody else. And so, but what he went on to say was more powerful than just that. Not that he was just taking a stand. He says, we got to fight against this. We have to stand. We have to not run. We don't run. We stay. We fight. We do whatever it takes. If I have to give up this contract, which is probably one of the biggest things that could happen to somebody that's a radio talk show host.
Sure.
The biggest microphone with Rush was Rush Limbaugh in the industry. And he was given this gift to take it over. And he's willing to not do it. He's willing to take that stand, which is a pretty strong stand. What? But it was what he had to say was so powerful. If you can find it, it's on I already posted it on my personal page. So if you're a friend of mine personally, you can find it there, but find it. It's the show before Tucker Carlson on last night, which was October 20th. It's really good. But it's exactly what you're talking about, that we don't give up. We take a stand and we stay strong.
Yes.
And we fight to the end.
Yes.
Everlasting.
From everlasting to everlasting.
Yeah, that's what it was. It took me a second to remember. That's an incredible statement too. From everlasting, from everything from before, which is infinity,
from eternity past,
into eternity going forward.
And that's another this scripture from Revelation. The Lord says to me, "The God that is, the God that was, and the God that will always be." Mm. So, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning.
Yes.
And the end, the first and the last.
So go to ChristianPost.com. Oops, didn't mean to take it off. There you go. ChristianPost.com. Reason I couldn't find it is because normally your picture's there.
But yeah, they're adding all these like graphics now that are relevant to my article.
Yep. But you'll see Hedia's, just type in Hedia's name, and she's the only Hedia writing for the Christian Post.
Yes.
And it's called Should Christians Surrender American Public Schools? So make sure and look that up and check it out. It's important, an important message, I think, that we need to stick around. And were you sitting at your computer going, you know what? I think this is a lot like Afghanistan.
I did. It came to me like a bolt of lightning. Like, oh my God, this is like Afghanistan. What? Oh, you should have been there.
So we have this thing. Hedia comes up with some really good ideas on occasion, or even some other people come up with some really good ideas.
Occasionally.
And then I will sit there. I have an idea. I'm going to come up with the iPhone. We should invent something called the iPhone.
Yeah.
You should be there. It's way funnier. But I thought I did come up with that other thing. All right, my friends.
Not so much.
Anything else, my love?
No.
Oh, Mike Lozo is calling me. He's a guy I went to work with at Anaheim Police Department. He's giving me a jingle.
Thank you. Right. That was so... We love you, folks.
We love you. Thank you for sticking with us on this one.
Yes, and the Edify.
Oh,
we're going to explain to you how to join the Edify Network and to download the app. Watch this video.
This podcast is part of the Edify Podcast Network. Edify is a faith-inspiring app that brings together thousands of the best Christian podcasts in one place for your listening enjoyment. Cut through the noise and grow your faith by diving into the world's top Christian podcasts today. Download the Edify app for free from the App Store or Google Play, or by going to edify.app. That's EDIFI.app. EDIFI.app.
I can't speed it up. It's just what it is.
We love you. Have a great and beautiful weekend. I hope you're having beautiful weather as we are in California. We do live in the Soviet Republic of California, but at least we have beautiful weather, folks.
I love you. All right, friends. We love you. God bless.
Bye.
Where are we going to go eat?
Hi. Push the button.